We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From the Mobile Pod World headquarters, this is the Carolina Insider. Brought to you by AT&T, a proud supporter of Carolina Athletics.
We're back. Time for another edition of the Carolina Insider. Jones and Adam here with you. Adam, it kind of feels to me like the last week of pod school right now. It's our last week of double pods for this academic year. Obviously, we're not going. We'll still have pods through the next several months. Don't worry about that. But it's our last double pod week. Got a big test coming on the second pod with the Roadhouse Challenge of this week. So we got one big exam left in front of us, and we're just here. We're trying to churn through these last couple of days of school.
This week, the teacher's making us clean the desks in the Mobile Pod World headquarters. Did you ever have to do that? You took the squirt bottle.
Oh, yeah.
Like, do their work for them. All right, I'm going to – but really, you're the one who got the desk so dirty in the first place. I'm going to clean the desk. I'm going to clean the metal chair.
Yeah.
And then we're going to take some things down off the walls in the classroom.
Well, hot start to this pod for sure. glad you're back with us as it
and
is.
Sorry you've turned it off.
Yeah. It is our final week of double pod here for the 18-19 year. But as we said, lots still to come. We will be podding with you through the late spring and summer months and getting you ready for 19-20. We have the potties out in the future, but starting to get a little closer.
Are the potties going to happen in the new show place or in the throwback archive area?
I feel like, well, normally we do the potties in June, right?
Yeah.
So we won't be in the new place yet.
I think the old girl deserves to get gussied up for one hot night on the town of potties.
Get your finest dress.
Yeah.
I'll get my old tuxedo that I hadn't worn in 20 years, but I'm sure it still fits.
We'll put some glitter on the urinal. It'll be great.
Plus, there is we've got the 200th episode coming up soon as well. Who knows what that is? And literally, who knows what that is going to encompass? So we've got a lot still to come. But anyway, what do we have today? We are going to talk to longtime friend of the pod, Ken Cleary, assistant AD here at Carolina, and we're going to talk to Ken mostly about the ACC Network. Of course, it is coming in August. High hopes for the ACC Network, both at Carolina and in the ACC as a conference, about not only the exposure that new venture will provide for the league and for its student athletes, and primarily, I think, for some Olympic sports. Well, that'll get a lot more coverage. You have another outlet for your main sports as well. And so we're going to talk to Ken about that coming and some other stuff coming up in just a little bit. I think you'll enjoy it.
I want to be crystal clear. Ken has nothing to do with the programming decisions on the ACC network,
right?
Which is why we did not talk to him about that, because he, not just because we like him, which we do, but his actual job description has nothing to do with that.
Right. He's just been kind of Carolina's representative, or one of Carolina's representatives in this whole venture, in this whole project.
And he makes it go on the Carolina side.
Right.
He doesn't sit there in his ivory ACC network tower and say, what documentaries would be good on day one?
I certainly know one that everyone would enjoy.
Right. That's not Ken.
Adam, before we get to that, you know, in a tricky spot with our timing of this pod, there's a big announcement for basketball-wise, recruiting-wise, coming up on Tuesday morning, which we currently don't know the answer to as we are recording this pod, but it'll be certainly an impactful decision for the Tar Heels. This is a busy week recruiting-wise for Carolina with graduate transfers and some other things, but again, all that will be hashed out over the next couple of days and weeks. So I do think, and we've said this a few times, never have I can I remember Carolina's roster being so in question at this late in the spring and looking towards next year. But that also is just kind of how college basketball is now. I think Carolina's been fortunate to avoid some of that, but it's just kind of how the game is now when graduate transfers are such a big part of it. And guys, some guys wait to see kind of how rosters are set before they make their commitments. And so it's just, it's getting later and later that you have to fulfill, or that you have to fill up your roster looking to the next year.
It's April 23rd, and there is no way we could coherently guess at a starting lineup
right
for November the 5th or 6th, when of course Carolina opens ACC play.
Sure, yeah, as it should be.
So that's a little different. Yeah. I don't know that I truly don't think the Tar Heels have ever been in that situation before, but certainly at some point this morning, we know more either for the good or for the bad about putting those puzzle pieces together.
Football-wise, three commitments this weekend for Carolina football. Tar Heels have also had a couple of guys enter the transfer portal here over the next over the last few days. And Adam, when you and I sat down with Mac Brown, you know, and he said they're going to sit down with every single player and be very truthful about kind of where they stand right now and then make some decisions off of that. And that's why I don't think it's hugely surprising that you see some of this movement as far as the transfer stuff. As far as the recruiting part of it is concerned, and again, we can't talk about individual guys, but safe to say there is some very positive momentum on that side of things for Tar Heel football right now.
Yes. Well, and we've said it, when you walk through the Keenan Football Center and you interact with the coaches, it's hard to not want to be part of whatever they're doing. And again, no games yet.
Yeah.
That's always nice.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be roses. 12-0 every single year, no doubt about it. But I just can't imagine a better staff, and specifically a head coach, at sitting there with a high school player and his parents and telling them that he's got his best interests at heart and here's the vision. Got a whole thing laid out. It's not some pie in the sky. Like, I think we're going to be pretty good. Like, I'm sure he's showing them a detailed plan of exactly how the Tar Heels are going to be good. Mm-hmm. I think that makes a big difference.
Olympic sport-wise, baseball swept a season or the weekend series from Boston College. Did you see how long that Saturday last? So they could not play on Friday because there was some severe weather through most of the afternoon in the area, and including a tornado that touched in the western part of Orange County and then the northern part of Orange County where Chapel Hill is. But I think the first game started around noon or 1 o'clock on Saturday and did not end until – the doubleheader did not end until almost midnight, with both games going into extra innings. Carolina losing leads in the ninth inning in both games and then coming back to win both games in extra innings. And just an extra – there were more – I think there was almost 25 pitchers used, more than 40 people left on base. I mean, almost 1,000 pitches thrown. I mean, when you see all the numbers, it's crazy.
Makes you miss doing those games on the radio.
That would have been a long day.
game one ended on a walk-off dribbler to shortstop.
Yeah, that was weird.
I've never seen that before. That ended up in the outfield. That was odd.
So, long day, but a big weekend sweep for Carolina. Tar Heels, I think now 30-11 or 31-11, right in that range. So a big sweep for them as they continue to move through conference play, ACC tournament coming up in about a month.
They're back at home this weekend against Virginia, which should be a pretty important series in the Coastal.
Both tennises were in their ACC tournaments. The men fell in the semifinals, but they'll be an NCAA tournament team and certainly a team that has aspirations of going a long way. And the women won the ACC championship, so a big what-up to them. I believe it's the fourth consecutive year that they've won the ACC tournament. They were also the regular season champions of the ACC. And just in one of the most consistently excellent programs that Carolina has on campus right now is its women's tennis program. They are national contenders every single year.
Brian Kalbas does a great job with them. It's not like he walked into something. That program's been good, but he's taken it to the next level, which I think is a credit to him.
And he's been courted by some other programs in recent years, and Carolina has been able to keep him on staff, which has been hugely beneficial as he's committed to Carolina and continues to put out just terrific program there. Adam, anything I'm missing? Anything? I know softball got
a big series win over Virginia Tech, which the Hokies were ranked.
Yeah, a couple of ranked wins. I think softball program has 8 or 9 ranked wins now. They won a series against Florida State last weekend, which came into that weekend ranked number 3, so it's been a very good, very solid season for the softball program as well, and certainly congratulations to Coach Papa and her group for that. Adam, of course, there has been the news of Sylvia Hatchell's retirement. You know, we're going to stay away, as it will be best for us to do, on all the outside stuff that led to this decision. I will simply just say you certainly wish Sylvia Hatchell the best in what she's going to do moving forward. She has been a longtime member of Carolina Athletics and has had some terrific seasons with the women's basketball team.
And absolutely no doubt how much she loves the University of North Carolina.
Yep.
Tar Heel through and through, and has given everything she's got to that program over a long, long time, won a national title, and certainly wish the best for her going forward.
And I will also say that in trying to look forward now with that program, I think that it is in a place where you can hit the refresh button a little bit. And that's a sport that you feel like Carolina should be top 25 every single year. Maybe not winning the national title every single year, but certainly a ranked team and in contention at the top of the ACC on a pretty consistent basis. Certainly the financial support is there. I think the fan support is there, especially if you start proving that you've got a product that is competing at the top of the league. I think you'll get people to those games and some support at those games. And so you have an opportunity now to move forward, I think, with this program and give it a different identity and see where it goes moving forward.
We just talked about women's tennis. Look at how good Carolina is in women's sports.
Yeah, almost across the board.
And in recent 3 to 5 years, I think basketball would have been on the lower end of the women's sports achievement list.
Yeah.
You've got a chance. I think if I'm Joe, women's basketball coach, who's really good at my job, I look at North Carolina. There's no doubt you can win there. Go look at any other sport there is on campus. Clearly, you've got a lot of possibilities.
So certainly interesting to see where things go in that regard with that sport here in the next few weeks. So let's get to our conversation with Ken Cleary. Ken, again, assistant AD here at Carolina. You'll hear about kind of how we got to that point and his backstory a little bit, and then you'll hear what our goal was to get to the ACC network and to talk about how it is going to hopefully affect things for the better, how it may impact you as a Tar Heel fan, and how it impacts that you consume Carolina athletics. So let's get to our conversation with Ken. Come back, a lot more to do after that here on the Carolina Insider. Now joined here on the pod, he just told me his title, I may have forgotten it, Assistant Athletic Director for Go Heels Productions Creative Services here at Carolina, friend of the pod, Ken Cleary.
You nailed that intro.
Dude, woo. Just set the bar high for this interview. Ken Cleary joining us. Ken, what's up?
Nothing. It's sort of funny that you don't know what my job is, even though you sit about 4 inches from me, the other side of an office divider for the time being. By the way, I have breaking news.
Oh.
The as of this morning, one wall of the future home of the Carolina Insider pod has been framed out.
Whoa.
That's all we need.
I just walked out there, and it's there. It's there. You can even see the little window that'll come from the audio booth next door.
Oh, man.
Wow. So
that's
there.
Where we're going to put our new producer in there, Adam.
You just got like 10 emails.
Yeah. Yeah. Adam's email address is J.A. Lucas.
Since you brought that up,
yeah.
Can we go like right on the interior, like the stuff that's going to be covered up by the sheetrock? Can we go right on the walls in the studio?
Sure.
Yeah, Adam just has his whole fear of missing out because he missed the
beam. Well, I missed the beam.
Oh, yeah.
Because I thought, oh, I'll do that tomorrow. Well, it turns out tomorrow was the day that it was going to be
Say,
put up there.
You need to tell the people that you love them, Adam, because sometimes tomorrow never comes.
Mm. Okay, so what I heard Ken say was, I should feel free to go over there and do whatever I want.
Yeah.
Just need a hard hat, safety goggles, safety shoes, and one of those bright fluorescent vests.
I'm wearing all that right now.
your normal
outfit. So don't change at all.
Yeah. When I leave my Village People rehearsal, I'll go right over there.
So we asked Ken to join us to talk about a couple different things. Ken is spearheading the ACC Network effort at Carolina. And so I want to talk about ACC Network. Thought we'd talk a little bit about that new building that's coming up that I think if you came to a basketball game this year, you saw that construction right there next to the Smith Center. Ken has been heavily involved with that as well and wherever else that we end up going to. So, Ken, before we get to any of that, tell everybody about your background a little bit, how you made your way to Carolina and how you've become what you've become here in the athletic department.
Before we go any further,
okay.
Everyone remember getaccn.com.
Oh,
getaccn.com. That's ESPN's that's the way that you will get information about the ACC network. So anybody who is interested in the ACC network and what Carolina's doing and all of that, go ahead, get on there, sign up. It'll ask for your favorite school, your favorite sport, all that kind of stuff, and they will tailor what information they are sending you about the future of the ACC network that way. So I had to get that out there.
I put in here, I'm on that website now, I put in more Coach K documentaries. So I've just got 20 emails.
So which time period would you like to learn about? So Ken, tell us a little bit about how you got here.
So I started at Carolina in 2001. I worked, graduated from Carolina, JOMC at the time, now MEJO, Journalism and Mass Communications for me, in 1991. Did a variety of different things.
You're a football manager?
I was a football trainer.
Trainer, excuse me.
Under the world-famous Dan Hooker.
Nice.
Great dude. Still continues to work at Student Health a little bit in his retirement. So I was that. Did a variety of different things after I graduated. Worked at WCHL for a little while. Lived in Toronto and was a roadie for a very short stint.
Nice.
Yeah. Carried a... I probably couldn't do it anymore, but used to be able to change bass drum heads and do all kinds of stuff like
for
that.
For who?
For a band. That yeah.
Really?
Just a little band. Yeah. A little band I like called Bon Jovi. I don't know, big deal.
Not the band. Yeah. Which would be much cooler.
Little band called the Rolling Stones. Yeah. Big deal.
Yeah, it never amounted to much, but it was fun for a 9-month stint. And then, like I said, worked at WCHL. I then worked in the sporting goods industry and sort of the marketing publishing side of it for a while, and then when that company got bought again, and there were a bunch of different things, I wound up doing some consulting. Was working for what eventually became the some portion of what Wasserman is now, and then was also working here at Carolina, helping Norwood Teague had just started here, so he needed some help with some special projects, and all of a sudden there was a video board going into the football stadium, and they needed someone to manage that project here, and I was, sure. So that started me off on this wild video world 20 years ago.
So, and I actually was talking to somebody about this today. How much more video audio-wise is done now by the university compared to 15 to 20 years ago?
It's almost even impossible to quantify that because, you know, if you go back 10 years ago, there was, pick a sport, say we're in the spring, women's lacrosse. If you could stream two women's lacrosse matches over the course of the year, it was a neat novelty for them. It was great. You maybe had some highlight packages and a photo gallery of a couple more games. And that was, you know, everyone was satisfied with that. Now you skip ahead 10 years later, it's absolutely essential that every game that you can broadcast is broadcast. You typically will have two highlight packages, one that's a highlight from the broadcast with the announcers, then another one that's like a DSLR style, you know, cinematic recap of that same event, all kinds of different things. So it's just blown out of the water. I mean, we produce 160 to 170 broadcasts.
Jeez.
Every year. So
and that's just on site, right?
That's just games that are here on campus. Yeah.
What do you think is the biggest misconception about video as it relates to Carolina athletics? Like, you hear people say, oh, Carolina does this or Carolina doesn't do that, and you secretly in your kin mind know, well, that's because you're wrong about what you're saying.
You know, I think we all suffer – I won't say suffer, but we're all subject to judgment from people who look and go – hey, this school X is doing this and school Y is doing that, and how come Carolina isn't doing all of those things? Now, chances are school X and school Y have made strategic decisions that they want their, you know, highlights and creative services group to be doing all of these things. And school Y may have live events that they really want to, that they've really been focused on, or some other factor, some other kind of thing. It's hard, you know, for us when we are such a broad-based program with 28 sports to be able to get to that level of coverage in any way, as other schools, as, you know, you take an SEC school that has 18 sports, you know, there's schools even in the ACC that, you know, in the spring they have baseball, you know, we've got baseball, softball, men's lacrosse, women's lacrosse. We're good in all of our winter sports, so those are all crossing over into the others. So
tennis,
it's just the tennises, yeah.
Yeah,
the golf, you know, all of those things that we're trying to cover. So it's just, you know, it's challenging to meet the volume of demands while also getting the degree of all of the different ways that you can cover your sport programs. They're all awesome, and we want to do all of them. But sometimes, you know, you get some resource struggles to do everything that you need to do.
So, Ken, I'm sure there's somebody who's going, well, why don't you just allocate all your resources for football, basketball, and baseball, or whatever? And so why is that not the way Carolina wants to approach this particular thing?
You know, I think that starts with Bubba. That's, you know, he's very adamant that we're going to be a broad-based program and have as many sport programs as we can absolutely support. We certainly want to tell, there's great stories to tell in our basketball, football, women's basketball, baseball programs, you know, all that we want to cover those a lot, but there's also great stories elsewhere. So, you know, for us, if those student athletes are going to be competing at Carolina, we want to do something to try to cover them. You know, I mean, there's some sports we're not going to cover as much as we would others, but, you know, you want to cover all of them, either from a live or highlight perspective, or, you know, creative services, graphic, you know, you can get into graphic design discussions for days of how much that, even that one particular slice of the communications industry has absolutely exploded over the last 3 or 4 years. It used to be that, you know, 5 years ago, athletic departments didn't have a graphic designer. Now, if you don't have, you know, two or three or four of them.
And sport-specific graphic designers.
Exactly. It's impossible to handle the workload.
Is producing 170 broadcasts per school year a money-making enterprise or a marketing enterprise?
It is a marketing enterprise. Yeah, at the end.
Could it be a money-making enterprise?
Well, that's what we hope the ACC network will help us in that regard. It's never going to be money-making for our particular unit. We're never going to turn a profit by producing enough content that we're getting rights fees. I mean, it's on, or not rights fees, but just production supplements or being paid to produce content. It's probably never going to happen that way. But, you know, in terms of what the network will do for the department in general, that it increases the, you know, both the rights fees and then also the business proposition of the ACC network, that it's a 50-50 partnership between ESPN and the conference. So we're getting a distribution from that. So, yeah, it helps fulfill the obligations that will generate revenue. But, you know, what we're doing is primarily, you know, we approach it as we're trying to tell stories and to cover our student athletes and our sport programs as well as we can.
I want to get to the ACC network because that is the primary reason that we asked Ken to join us today. But I wanted to talk a little bit about kind of in-game production because I think a lot of people see that and recognize that, whether it's the video boards or whatever. How much does your group have to do with that? And kind of what's the process of that decision-making on what goes into the other stuff of game day in stadium or in arena?
Sure. There's a obviously that's a critical focus for what we do. Our group is divided into sort of three main categories. We've got a live events group that's handling the back-end production, our engineering, and our ACC network broadcast obligations. We've got our creative services group, which is all of our post-production video people, Tony, our graphic designer, Dana Reynolds, who manages social media for the athletic department. And then we also have a game day unit, game day productions unit, that handles all of that manages the content for our venues. So we've got, what was it, 7 venues, maybe 13 sports? I should know that number off the top of my head. But we've got lots of video boards. Mm-hmm. And then there's some other venues where we don't have video boards, but there's a significant game day production there. So scripting, music, content generation, sponsorship fulfillment, which is a huge, obviously a critical part to what happens at Carolina, and to be able to fund all of these things we're talking about. Sponsors are an important part of what we do and fulfilling that. Trying to balance that with balance the sponsorship obligations with the experience that people are having in venue. When it works great, it works awesome, i.e. Bojangles in men's basketball. There are other times where it's not as neat a fit and you're trying to make all that happen. We want to fulfill all of our sponsorship obligations, but we're also trying to, you know, make sure that the in-game experience is great. But that's our group is involved in it. The marketing office is obviously heavily involved in it. There's a lot of event management parts to things that need to happen, and then obviously, you know, the spirit squads, Jeff Fuchs and the band and Brown Walters and the cheerleaders and the dance team, those are all critical components. And as you're building out that experience, you have to balance all of those things to make them all work together.
What are some characteristics of something that works on a big screen in front of 60,000 people or 20,000 people that maybe you wouldn't, that you know that works in that format, but maybe it's different if I just sit there at my computer screen and watch it? I don't know if that question makes any sense.
I think probably the best, and this is a good example of a collaborative process, is like the starting lineup sequence that we have in the Smith Center now. With the new video boards we installed, a new spotlight system, that plus the app that you can do, the Tar Heel Lights app, all of those things. I think you can look at that on TV, but you don't get the feeling. Hopefully the combination of the music and the light and all of those things, you can't replicate that sitting, looking, you know, watching it on TV. So, and that was the people in the building here helped us get that done. The Rams Club obviously funded a lot of those improvements. Alexis in the marketing office was the one who coordinated the Tar Heel Lights app. So all of those, there's a lot of people involved in sort of making that what it is.
I've said this before when Adam and I have had discussions about game day and those kind of things. How hard is it, in your opinion, to kind of create a new tradition or something that people are excited about seeing and being a part of a game day?
There's some art and some science to it. I think it's mostly just art, and you just have to try a bunch of stuff to see what works. And, you know, I mean, there may be a couple things that there's a whole variety of things that we've tried and did it once and was like, wow, what were we thinking? You know, and then there's other things where it's like, we didn't know that would, you know, that would be a thing, and it's great. You know, Paul Beam, who works in our offices, we've staged him as a dancing fan a couple of different times, and it's like the second time we did it, as soon as people saw his face, they knew who it was and got super excited. We thought that was just going to be, you know, like a sort of a one-off joke kind of thing. So, but yeah, it's just hard. You never really know. And, you know, the crowd tells you within seconds of starting it whether you're on the right track or not.
How do you know when something didn't work and it'll never work as compared to that didn't work, but I really think it might hit if we'll stay with it?
Feel. I mean, you base it on a broad-based reaction, because there's going to be, we all know that in all of the things that we do, that there are going to be people who hate everything, you know. There's going to be people who just want to watch the game and don't understand why you would do a fan cam or, you know, a Coke shuffle or those kinds of things. Or a t-shirt toss. I just need to see stats and, you know, if we could calculate points per possession for them and stuff like that, they would love it, Culp. But there's a balance. You have to, you know, you want to entertain. I'm just kidding. David Culp, great friend of ours. And
kids are going, Culp's going to be upset that I mentioned him in that
he
way.
He loves everything about Carolina, including some of the stuff we do on the video boards. But he in fact, Culp for fun tracks career highs for all of our players and sends me a spreadsheet of those before every game. So when we know we have a cheat sheet for anything, points, rebounds, assists, that he just does for fun.
Yeah. Who doesn't do that for fun?
with annotations for when it actually occurred. Nice. Even with transfers, it has, you know, with Cameron Johnson, he had both his Pitt and his Carolinas.
Let's talk ACC.
It's people like that make things awesome around here.
That's right. Let's talk ACC Network. So what has this process been like? How close is Carolina to being ready to accept it? And what do you think the future looks like with the ACC Network?
The future is awesome. I think it's a great opportunity. We mentioned a little bit about the revenue. You know, it's gonna really help anybody who follows the business of college athletics, recognizes that the SEC and the Big Ten have really taken a leap ahead of other conferences in terms of their annual distributions from media rights. So this gives us a great opportunity to catch up in that regard. So I mean, the financial part of it is obviously critical, which is why people need to go to getaccdn.com or getaccn.com. Sorry. And get a bunch of information about the ACC Network. So that part of it's awesome. It also gives us a great opportunity to showcase our student athletes and coaches and sport programs. I mean, we're so blessed at Carolina to be really good in so many sports. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, our field hockey program this year won a national championship, went undefeated, had probably arguably the two best players in the country on it. And it wasn't necessarily easy to go find to watch our field hockey program. We broadcast all of their home matches. But you know, there needs to be an opportunity for them to get on TV every once in a while. So you can go, holy cow, they're really good. You know, those kind of opportunities are going to be great for our programs. Obviously huge recruiting opportunity, for the sport programs, all of, so it's everything. That's the future. Now, getting there hasn't been quite as easy.
I was going to say, so what's the process been like of getting there, and how ready do you think Carolina will be?
To give you what we've had to do, I'll sort of give you what we're going to be expected to do and then how we had to build to get there. So the way that the ACC Network works and the way that the SEC Network was built is that the institutions themselves are responsible for much of the production, the live production of games. So in years past, ESPN would pull up a truck to Fetzer Field or Soccer Lacrosse Stadium or Boshamer, and the truck would produce that live broadcast. Now the schools are going to be responsible for doing that production. So we'll provide what they call below-the-line staff. So all the camera operators, replay operators, technical director, graphics people, all those things. The ACC Network will send a producer-director and a couple of other folks, and that broadcast will be produced out of our facility. So we're essentially replacing the TV truck. Mm-hmm. What that means is that it saves a lot of money on ESPN, the ACC Network's end, that they're not having to rent these trucks to to come in here. They're not going to have to staff all of those positions, so it saves them a lot of money. It gives us more of an ability to teach and train people, and then we're able to hopefully the enterprise makes some money and you share in those in what's in the profit of that entity. So versus just a traditional rights fee where ESPN came in and said, okay, for the next 20 years, we're going to give you X and that's what you get. You have no opportunity to grow your, the revenue side of that from a school perspective. So to get there, we essentially have to build a building with more or less three TV trucks in it. So we have to have all of the infrastructure to be able to support three control rooms in there. So, switchers and routers and all kinds of equipment that will require us to or that'll give us the ability to produce all of those broadcasts. We have a lot of sports, so we have to have a lot of capacity. And then we've got fiber optic cable running to all of our sports venues, so we're able to get all those signals back here, switch them, ship them off to ESPN for distribution through either. On any of the ACC networks, any of the ESPN networks, or the ACC network, or the digital platform, or any of those kinds of things. So, sorry, long-winded answer there.
When Ken said the future is great, I felt like he had just hopped out of a DeLorean. The future is great, but it's your kids, Marty. We got to talk about your kids. So when you say it's important for these sports and for everybody to get on TV. Do you mean like my actual TV in the den, or does TV mean any device on which I might choose to watch it?
Yes. Yeah. The TV world obviously is changing compared to what it was 10 years ago. People are consuming content in lots of different ways. You can watch TV on your phone. You can also watch the internet on your TV. You know, so yeah.
Oh, where we're going, we don't need roads.
So, the ACC network is a lot more than just a channel, you know, that you would go, okay, I want to go to channel 312, and this is what they're going to send me. The ACC network is sort of that entire ecosystem of what you would get on through your typical traditional TV platform, as well as what you could get on your phone through digital productions, you know, because the network will have that, the channel will have 250 plus live events every year, but the ACC network ecosystem will have probably 1300. So yeah, I mean, there's going to be baseball will potentially have, pick a number, 6 to 8 games on that network every year, home and away. But pretty much every game, at least in the conference, will be produced somehow to be able to be there.
This is a very important question, though, Ken, for anyone above the age of probably 40. It is going to be a channel that they can turn on the TV, though, right?
Correct.
And boom, there is the ACC network.
Yeah. Yep. Yes, that is, in fact, correct. So, so when the phone rings upstairs in the Smith Center and somebody wants to know what channel it is, then
right.
All the people who answer the phones have to.
Okay, now I have DirecTV and I live in Fayetteville. Yeah. What channel is it on? I live in Wilmington and I watch on cable. What channel is it on? But so it is important, and it feels like, and maybe this is just the PR side of it, but it feels like the distribution as far as the channel has gone well. As far as there are a lot of people picking it up, it will be available to a lot of different people.
I think that the people at ESPN who are responsible for that, and I think it's important, and Commissioner Swofford had mentioned this very early on in the process, that we're partnered with the people who are the best in the business at not only producing a channel, but figuring out where the market's going and understanding what's happening. So I think the ESPN people are very are encouraged by how much success they've had to this point.
I have one more question. I don't know if you have any more, Adam. So you mentioned the SEC and the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
What makes the ACC network more like that and less like the Pac-12 network, which seems to have really struggled to get a foothold and really struggled to be a positive thing for that conference?
It boils down to having a cable partner. All three, the SEC, ACC, and Big Ten with Fox, the other two with ESPN, have a cable partner. So you've got this partner who's used to getting your content pushed out. They have relationships with, you name it, Spectrum, Comcast, all of the big – they have those relationships already. But they own half the business. Mm-hmm. The Pac-12 tried to go it alone. And so they own 100% of the Pac – the conference owns 100% of the Pac-12 networks, but they didn't have that expertise. They didn't have, you know, someone depending on the relationship with the cable provider who can be a bit of a bully or push a little bit or can just, you know, massage the relationship. They don't have that. So, you know, at the end of the day, there are some financial advantages for the Pac-12 if they can realize them in going the way that they went. But, you know, in a practical – again, back to your question about money or marketing, you know, in a practical way, our conference is set up a lot better to be able to get content to Carolina fans who want to consume them. That's most important to us. And it also, on the financial side, helps regularly on an annual basis versus just having this big investment that's going to be worth a lot of something way down the road. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
If I'm Johnny Tar Heel fan and my predominant concern is sitting down on a cold January night and watching the Tar Heels play Wake Forest in an ACC basketball game, is anything, assuming I can figure out what channel it comes on, which is not your problem, is anything I see going to be different? Am I going to notice any, is anything going to be different about my experience?
Depending on how detailed what you notice.
I'm Johnny
Tar Heel
fan. I don't get into like pixels and stuff like that.
Yeah, the graphics package will be slightly different. I mean, I don't think it will be completely different from sort of what an ESPN look is. It'll be customized to us. The announcers will be people you're likely used to listening to. I think Wes Durham will be one of them when he gets out of Mark Packer's basement, apparently. you know, I mean, so. Generally, no. I mean, I think the other part of this that during the ACC tournament we heard a lot about was that Raycom as an over-the-air entity goes away. So the one probably main difference as Johnny Tar Heel fan in Hendersonville or wherever you may be from is going to be that you're not getting it over the air anymore. You're not getting it on, you know, on whatever channel you were used to getting it. Here in the Triangle, you know, most of those games are on WRL. So that coverage goes away. It's now on a cable channel, so it's moving to a different location. So that'll be the biggest change. But otherwise, it's going to be very much, you know, what you hopefully won't notice is that many of those games will be produced by the schools in school control rooms with, you know, if we do it right, with a lot of student talent who are learning to be the next, you know, the next person who's a producer or director for ESPN. Those kinds of things. So that's hopefully you don't notice that. That means that we're doing our job correctly.
You said the magic words, and I guarantee there are people listening who heard you say student talent and thought, ooh, I want in on that.
Mm-hmm.
What should they do?
They can gohillsproductions@unc.edu, I believe, is our email address that we've got. Students can email us to just introduce themselves, and we have starting last semester, we've been able to grow out our team. A couple of our folks have come from other schools that had very robust student groups that helped them in their productions, University of Alabama being one of them. And so we've started doing at the beginning of each semester an introductory, hey, this is what we do, get to work in our, you know, learn to work in our control rooms and those kinds of things. Usually takes about a semester to get trained up enough to know, okay, the producer's calling for a replay. This is how I jog back the replay machine. This is how I update the score bug to include whatever happened, you know. So it takes a little while to get going, but then, you know, a couple months in, they're able to just be crewed on our crews as regular people. We'd love to have more student involvement. One of the challenges we face at Carolina, which is an awesome part of Carolina, is that there are so many opportunities for students to be involved in a variety of different things. TV production is specific enough that, you know, if you want to be involved in sports, you may go, okay, I'm going to write for the DTH, and I'm going to do this other thing, and I'm going to also do that. It's a little bit difficult to be experts in all of those things. So, you know, students who come to us, if they want to be involved in sports on TV, it is a fantastic opportunity, and is going to get, there's going to be so many chances for them to learn and to grow and to develop fantastic skills, both, you know, out at venues if they want to be camera people, or on the air, or, you know, in a production environment. So,
most importantly, on a scale of 1 to 10, how awesome is the new Pod World headquarters going to be?
11. Now, that just to talk a little bit about that building, that it is going to be, I think it's going to be really cool. I hope it's going to be really cool, or I'll be asking you guys for a job. We'll have three control rooms in there. Two of those control rooms will actually face Skipper Bowl, or will be on the Skipper Bowl's drive side of the building. In between those two are two audio booths, and then the new home of the Pod.
Yeah. Right there in the heart of the building. Yeah.
That's the one with all the trophy cases.
Yeah, we're the heartbeat. It's the Pod.
So when the building opens, which will be in August of this year, because the network is on the air on August 22nd.
Adam and I will be standing with our bags outside the door right when it opens.
So, you know, when you guys pod after dark in there after a basketball game, there may be people on the other side of the glass that are watching you do it.
Feel like fish.
Yeah.
I'll make sure to remember my pants that day.
Yeah. So that'll be that part of that building will be awesome and will be a lot of fun, and Bubba was very adamant about this in the design of that area, is that we're trying to bring some of what happens in the Smith Center, start it earlier and bring it to you after the game. So, you know, to this point, you're sort of just you're standing in line for a bus or trying to get across the street, and there's not a lot of either visual or audio kind of help of what, you know, you didn't know what just happened or what is about to happen. So, you know, we got lots of plans to try to help, as people are coming in and coming and going from the Smith Center to change that experience a little bit and make it more fun and more modern, to be perfectly honest.
You don't even know it yet, Adam, but you're going to be doing a lot of work next year, buddy.
I think that's nice that Ken will drive people home.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what I heard him say. You don't have to wait for the bus anymore. Just call Ken.
Man, just think, Adam. New Pod World headquarters, have all our stuff up on the walls.
Yeah, we've got a lot of memorabilia. Yeah. Is there room for all of our memorabilia?
There are a lot of windows in that room, but yeah, there's always room for memorabilia.
I hope they don't go through the UV rays, because we've got some valuable items.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what you'll also have is some TVs in there, too.
Yeah.
So,
I remember when we used to have a TV.
Well, we got one right there.
Yeah, that's true.
And a urinal. What more do you need?
Is there a urinal?
I was wondering if the ghost of Dick Paparo was hanging out in this room or not. But
Ken,
I'm not sure.
All right, leave us again with, hello, I am Johnny Tariel fan, and I want to know if I can watch my stuff, and I want to learn more about the ACC Network. How do I do it?
So, first of all, if you have a cable subscription, the ACC Network in its digital existence is already there. You can go to either, you can authenticate, if you go to the ESPN app, you can watch all of the content we're producing, baseball, softball, lacrosse, this spring.
Yep.
You just go to either watch ESPN or the ESPN app on your phone. If you have a Roku or Apple TV, there's an ESPN app, and you can get to all the ACC Network content there. You just need to have your normal login for your cable provider. Then if you go to getaccn.com, they'll just give you all the information you need to know. You know, some of that is, you know, it's important for, in all seriousness, it's important for our Carolina fans to want to get the network. It's important for us financially. It's important for it to be a success, because we want to be able to, you know, we want people to see our student athletes and our sport programs. So, you know, that part of it's important. We understand that people have, you know, have choices to make in television, and you know, this is it's an important thing for Carolina in the long term, that people embrace this and want to be a part of it. So getaccn.com.
Again, we appreciate Ken giving us some time. And Adam, I think the ACC network in total is going to be a positive. I do not care for a couple of the decisions, as we've talked about, that they have made. But I also understand that they are doing it from a television perspective. I do think that it will, once everybody gets a little bit used to it, I think it is going to be a big positive for the league and for those who still rely on just kind of normal TV, I'll call it cable TV or whatever. It's going to be one of those where you know that channel because you go to it so much. So you know it's channel XXX or whatever. Oh, that's a channel Adam likes to go to. if it's channel XYZ. And so, yeah, I do think it is just going to become, and it'll take a year or two, but I think it's going to just become a very normal part of your viewing experience as an ACC fan, as a Carolina fan.
Yeah, I think it'll be this generation's Raycom. It'll be as natural to them as Raycom is to us, except they'll be able to watch all sports and not just football and basketball.
Right.
And it'll be commonplace. It already is more commonplace. It used to be such a big deal when we were doing baseball to have one game on television or streamed on the internet. Now people get mad if there's one game that is not streamed on the internet. It's just become what you do in 2019, and the ACC network will help the ACC, which, whatever, but specifically Carolina, which we do care about, get to that point.
One thing I do think they've done well, and this is part of with ESPN's backing and knowledge of the market space, is just what you're talking about, in that there is already a very robust presence for the ACC in the streaming aspect of things. Almost every single sport is streamed. And so if you want to watch ACC gymnastics and there's some happening, you've got a good chance that you can see it happen. And so I do think that is an area that they've already done well in. And as all the schools' capabilities continue to grow from the production standpoint and the quality of kind of the local produced stuff continues to rise, I think that's something that's going to just get better. But the availability of it is already there. And so while that may not be I think it is becoming, for younger people, it is a natural way to watch things. For middle-aged folks such as you and me and some older folks, maybe it's not as natural, although I think it's getting there. I mean, it's becoming a very natural way to watch things in my household, I know. So I just think that it's getting there.
Yeah, it used to be you wouldn't think of watching a event on your phone because it's too small. I can't see everything. Now, anytime there's a baseball game on, that's the first thing I think of. I'll just watch it on my phone.
Yeah. Or, hey, I'll just hit my button on my smart TV and go to the – yeah, boom. So I do think, again, something they have done well and something that is only going to get better in addition to having the linear channel as well. That interview brought to you by AT&T. AT&T, proud supporter of Carolina Athletics. More for your thing. That's our thing at AT&T. UNC.edu. You can see the impact Tar Heels make every day in North Carolina. Learn more about what's happening in Chapel Hill at UNC.edu. Beneath the longleaf pines in the heart of North Carolina, a place where golf is more than a game, it's a way of life. A place with more courses than days of the week, more championships than anywhere in America. That, of course, is Pinehurst. And it's waiting for you. Adam, do you have a list?
I do.
All right.
What's on the top of Adam's list? Brought to you by Top of the Hill, where Tar Heels come to celebrate.
You were not prepared to go to that list.
No, I wasn't. I
hit you with the hezzy.
Mr. Goosehonkers himself tweeted us a link to a story on NPR where we like to get most of our highbrow
news. That's my first check in the morning.
And the story is about, quote, a dish born of poverty now on fine dining menus. What's that you say? Grits.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So even NPR picking up on grits right now.
Yeah, it's hot. Hot in the streets.
I think we can safely say we started that.
Yeah, hot in the streets right now. Grits. Tired mashed potatoes. Wired grits.
Okay. Nate Kelly sent me a link to – he felt like this combined many aspects of things we've talked about on the pod. So it's this website called mispronouncer.com that you click – it tells you how to pronounce different things. And one of the things that's on the website is Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Yeah. We got several people. Yeah, let us know.
We did – people seem to agree with us that it looks like it should be Eau Claire.
Right, no.
But it's Eau Claire, Wisconsin. So if you ever go there to do karate moves in the parking lot or your dog needs some Jiffy cornbread muffin mix or whatever, make sure you pronounce it the right way. Now, this weekend I was driving in the car with our younger daughter.
Mm.
And when I am driving late at night, that is when I am not at my best driving-wise because I get tired.
Oh, boy. It's just it's hard for me to see when it's raining and it's late. Right.
And so often
– another step toward oldness.
In order to maintain my awakeness, I then have to go to the 80s and the 90s on the radio because, of course, I can perform all those songs – with 100% accuracy.
It gets gets your adrenaline pumping.
It does, because you're up on stage, you're singing into the steering wheel. That's when I'm at my best. And the song that happened to come on, Jones, was We Built This City.
Ooh, yeah.
By Starship.
Yeah, like that one.
And built this city on rock and roll. It occurred to me while I was listening to that song, something I've never thought of before. I've certainly heard that song before.
Right.
But I've never thought of this until right now, or really right then. That song is Reverse Footloose. They built their city on rock and roll. That's the only thing keeping that city alive.
Yeah.
Marconi sings Mamba on the radio or whatever they say.
Why do they have the part where they have the radio DJ and he's like, ooh, it's Saturday morning and traffic out there, bumper to bumper, and the city is the city that never sleeps. But he's talking about San Francisco, right?
I think so,
Because they mentioned the Golden Gate Bridge or Bay Bridge or something. Yeah.
But I think, and I'm not sure of the timing of these two things, but I feel like Starship saw what had happened to the town in Footloose, that it had become kind of sad and burnt out. And they're like, we should build a city strictly on rock and roll and give all these people a place to go. And that's what they did.
Flip it on him.
Yeah. So, good work, Starship.
Looking out over that Golden Gate Bridge on another gorgeous sunny Saturday, and I'm seeing that bumper-to-bumper traffic. Don't you remember? It's your favorite radio station and your favorite radio city, the city by the bay, the city that rocks, the city that never sleeps.
Listen to the radio. Alex Thompson tweeted at us, his dog Woody ate a copy of Redemption, the book about the 17 national title.
Woody looks very disappointed in himself.
Like, he knows what he did was wrong. So I felt bad for Alex. I guess I feel kind of good for Woody because it looks like he had a good lunch.
Yeah.
But, I mean, these things happen. So shout out to Woody. What up, Woody the dog? We got an email from James Wilson regarding Pat Green.
I saw this.
Big news on the Pat Green front, Jones. James writes as follows. PSA. Both 2006 and 2016 Carolina baseball and basketball losses are associated with Pat Green. Pat Green played in Houston outside the arena before the championship game. I vaguely remember something like that. I didn't see him perform, but I kind of remember thinking, oh, yeah, Pat Green, wave on wave. 06 Diamond Heels. So James writes, Pat Green is dead to me, and let's have Carolina disassociate from Pat and his songs. Mm. Pat, you might be getting a sternly worded letter, my friend.
Yeah, that's a shame to hear.
Has enough time passed that we can let him back in, though? I feel like he was right on the cusp of coming back in 16, and then he goes and performs in Houston.
Yeah.
Boom, another 10 years. Sorry, Pat. That's all.
That clock's been reset, buddy.
Yeah.
A couple tweets I wanted to get to. Shane
Cassida sent us a picture of a toy Tar Heel train, which he said all aboard the official leaky train. Adam, I don't want you to look at that too much. Maybe coming your way at a Christmas spectacular next year. I don't want you to get too excited about that just yet. LeSueur on Twitter said, dreamt that I was asked to substitute for Adam on one episode of the pod. Jones said, I'm not funny.
So you fit right in.
Yeah, it seems about right. Yeah. See, perfect substitute for Adam.
Yeah, I think,
except for that one kid who called you the king of pod comedy.
I think that that was taken.
Kids are dumb, though, Adam.
As perhaps an insult, and realized was you meant that as a compliment. Like, you're not funny. You're doing a good job.
Yeah.
You're doing just like we would do it normally.
We received a tweet from, I'm trying to find it. You just sit there, feel good.
Or bad, depending on what else has happened this morning.
Jeff Mullins sent us his tweet. He said he knows it's too late for his hashtag THSMLL trademark. He said, but April 10th, 1982, listening to Joan Jett's I Love Rock and Roll while jumping on Todd Turner's trampoline with Woody's son Taylor Durham and drinking UNC Blue Soda. That's a very specific memory.
Well, and I'm not 100% sure. We're not talking about Todd Turner, the NC State athletic director from that era, are we?
Oh, I think so.
Or are we?
I think we are.
Oh, you think we are?
Yes.
Wow. So Todd Turner just let the neighborhood kids come jump on his trampoline?
Very welcoming gentleman.
Huh. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, they're coming in concert this summer. He can go relive that.
Christopher Garrison sent us an email and said, Jones and Adam, your recent discussion of Auburn fans' premature exuberance at the end of their Final Four game reminded me of something that happened at the end of the 2007 Carolina Duke football game, he said, which was his senior year. Now, Adam, you have a very questioning look on your face, and I know why. You and I were not at that game. I remember we were in Las Vegas.
That's right.
Because the Tar Heel basketball team was playing the, I guess maybe the Continental Tire Las Vegas Invitational. Mm-hmm. A little higher field this year because they beat Old Dominion and then beat BYU. Because
yep.
Remember, BYU had upset Louisville in the other semifinal. So anyway, he said that game was played in
I bet at that time we were like, are we ever going to get to play Louisville? That sounds like that would be a great matchup.
What a terrific interconference matchup this would be.
If only the Tar Heels and Cards could get on the same hardwood.
He said that game was played in Keenan Stadium and what was the end of a tough season for both teams. That was Butch Davis's first year at Carolina. Tar Heels, I think, finished 3-9 that year, maybe 4-8. He said Carolina came into the game with just two wins. Oh, well, if I had just kept reading, I would have known. Duke only had one. Tar Heels in the midst of a long dominant streak in the series, so the victory bell was on the Carolina sideline. He said, in the corner by the student section. He said, the game that year was very close, tied at 14 in the final moments of the fourth quarter. Duke had the ball and was driving toward the student section to try a last-second field goal to win the game for the first time in many years. He said, as the Duke kick went up and passed the uprights, a majority of the Duke team sprinted from their sideline across the field in celebration, heading toward the victory bell in order to paint it the other shade of blue. In hindsight, we should have just let them do it and then charged them a whole bunch of money. Some Blue Devil players even made it to the opposite sideline as Carolina students stared on in disbelief. However, Adam, what the Duke players failed to realize in that moment and what those of us in the tar pit were fully aware of is that the kick had missed wide. The fourth quarter had ended. Game still tied, 14-14. To the laughter of the Carolina fans in attendance that day, the Blue Devils would have to return to their own sideline and prepare for overtime. Carolina would go on to win the game 20-14. While not the most memorable season, it's certainly an ending to a game that he will never forget. Again, that was Chris Garrison who sent that one in. I kind of remember that. Again, you and I weren't there. I do remember that story, though. I got to say, that would be quite a walk of shame back to your sideline after running over, starting to ring the victory bell, and then realizing that you didn't actually win the game.
There's no good way to recover from that. That just shows how much life has changed in the last 12 years? Because I feel like there should be video of that, but I don't think I've ever seen it. But if that happened in 2019, you would have multiple video from multiple angles featuring all sorts of extras and commentary on each individual player who ran across the field. But in 2007, it just right down the rabbit hole.
You know, I kind of think to that point, one thing that kind of went away was that fight at the end of the Carolina State football game this year.
Yeah.
I don't even really think about that anymore because so much happened with Carolina football immediately after that it just got kind of brushed aside.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that in a while.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. Like, I kind of forgot it happened.
Yeah. When you said fight after the State Carolina game,
you're like,
I thought
Donnie Thompson.
Yeah. I haven't forgotten about that. What are you talking about?
Adam's got the slow motion gif of it repeating on all the TVs in his house when he turns them off. Somehow that stays on the screen. A repeating gif. What do you think about that, Adam?
Sounds awesome.
That's a pretty good invention, actually. I think we could – that'd be something to look into.
Go ahead and put a TM on that one.
Trademark it. Trademark it.
It's official. Don't bother trying to copy it. We just did it right now.
Adam, how about a story time?
Okay.
Jared McCullen sent in this story time. So you get – by the way, I received a text from friend of the pod, Joey Powell, congratulating me on what he deemed the ultimate dad joke about the golden goose for Mr. Goosehawkers after he had been in Mexico and got a tan from lying out in the sun. He deemed that ultimate dad joke.
So
thank you, Joey.
You've reached the mountaintop.
It only goes down from here, Adam. How long can I stay on top before the slide begins? We'll find out. Jared sent in the story. Jared McCullen. And fire up Mr. Goosehawkers because Jared's story starts like this. My 10-year-old daughter is in the fourth grade. Each year, all of the fourth grade classes in her school design class banners based around the class name and compete in a contest to see who's the best. Simply the best. You have to be chosen / voted on to the actual banner committee to do any of the real artwork and design. This is a complicated fourth grade banner competition.
It's cutthroat at this elementary school.
This year, Jared's daughter was voted onto the committee, carrying on a long lineage of banner designers in our family. Her older sister was on the banner committee as well just 2 years ago. More on that later. So, Jared picks up his daughter every Friday from school because his work schedule allows it. This particular Friday is when she... You didn't have to tell us that, Jared. You could have just said you picked up your daughter. I believe you. This particular Friday is when she told me about making the banner committee. Good, right? Yeah, of course it's good. But wait. Her class name is the Cameron Crazies. Her daughter's name is Mrs. Cameron. She's a big Duke fan. Parentheses, gross. My daughter proceeds to tell me she's going to have to draw a lot of the Duke symbols in little dark blue hearts. So what does a reasonable, lifelong Tar Heel fan say to this? Well, Jared told her she wasn't allowed to draw anything associated with Duke. She could draw all the hearts she wants as long as they weren't Duke blue, but no Duke symbols. My daughter looks at me as I'm driving, almost as if trying to decipher if Jared was being serious or not. She then said she was going to have to do it because it was her classroom project, but she would cross her fingers while she does it so it doesn't count. She then said it would all be lies anyway. He said that response did have me beaming with pride. I wish the crossed fingers thing was something that I could just enact the older I got.
Right.
Like, did I say that I would meet that deadline? Yes, but look at that. You didn't pay attention to my fingers. Sorry.
I had my fingers crossed.
Bro.
If I can have that back, I'd like to also have opposite day back. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, sure. I'll be your best friend. And then, like, 5 minutes later, psych, it's opposite day. Opposite day never fell on the same day. Did you ever pick up on that? There wasn't a standardized opposite day.
Floating.
Sometimes 3 times a week, sometimes none.
Adam, I'm really enjoying this podcast. Psych, get my fingers crossed, punk. Okay, sorry. Jared said, Jared still said no, even with the argument about the fingers crossed. Now, back to her sister's time on the Banner Committee. She then asked.
Did you just go through the transfer portal?
What yeah, that's right. We're transfer portaling back in time to finish up this story. She then asked why I wasn't mad like this a few years ago when her sister had to do this in her class, because that class's name was West's Wolfpack. I told her it was no big deal then because nobody really cares about NC State. She actually found that answer to be perfectly acceptable, as she should have, says Jared. As of the sending of this email, now this is, we've had this email for a little bit. He said the banners haven't been made yet. He says, I'm hoping when the time comes that my daughter will think twice before participating, weigh the pros and cons of the task, and come to a realization that no grade is worth tainting her mind and soul with Duke. So, Jared, we may need an update on this to find out what happened, because this email was, it was from about a month ago. So we need to know the update if Jared has it. So, Jared, if you're listening, give us an update that we can slide in on the second half of the week here on the pod.
I feel like Jared would buy my parenting book.
Yeah.
Or maybe even be a co-author.
Be your editor. Yeah. Hey, you guys, he could ghostwrite it for you.
He doesn't believe in letting these young rapscallions make their own decisions and possibly screw it up. You just tell them what to do, and they do it. The only other chance I can think of here is, what if you had spot-a-villed the banner, and what if she had signed Ooh. Roy Williams' name in the corner surreptitiously? Mm. Maybe that would have been the only other possibility, but I like Jared's answer just as much.
We have one show left coming this week, and got a good guess. I'll go ahead and tell you it is. It's Algie Crumpler, and it's a good interview with Algie. Had a chance to talk with him over at the Keenan Football Center a couple days ago when he was here to speak to the team, and think you're really going to enjoy it. He is a fascinating guy, really intelligent guy. I mean, just a fun conversation about football and other stuff. And I think, Adam, the only guest we've ever had that we finished the interview and he was like, let's keep going. Ask me a few more questions. I want to keep going. And we were like, all right, sure. So I think people will enjoy it.
He couldn't get enough pod.
Yeah.
He wanted to go ahead and do his part two right then.
Yeah. So we've got that coming up in the second show of the week and Roadhouse Challenge with Days of Thunder.
Rubbin's Racing.
So all of that coming up later this week. Adam, anything else before we get out of here?
I like it when people watch Days of Thunder or whatever the Roadhouse Challenge movie is before the Roadhouse Challenge takes place. So this is a stone cold lock. We have absolutely guaranteed it, which means there's no way anything could ever happen that would deny this. So if you're on the fence about whether you should watch this week, yes, you should. And it's on Prime Video for free. You can watch with the X-ray feature, which I've never done, but I plan to do for this one.
Yeah, if you're a Prime member, then you can watch it.
Which Jones is, obviously.
Yeah, clearly.
There's some people who don't get that you're a Prime member, and that's a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Just newcomers to the pod, Adam. Yeah. So we'll see you later this week. For now, we'll let Ken Cleary and the RZA, who, quite honestly, it wouldn't shock me if Ken had probably hung out with the RZA at some point in time, and the RZA left that going like, that Ken Cleary guy was fun to hang out with.
And he had such good restaurant recommendations.
And it was nice of him to help me pack up my stuff after the show. We'll let Ken and the RZA send us out here on the latest edition of the Carolina Insider.
This is Ken Cleary from Carolina Athletics, and I was lucky enough to be there at the Blue Plate Cafe that one day in March of 2017 when probably the most famous phrase in Carolina athletics history was uttered. See you later, Big Grits.
When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat grits for dinner.
Pound box of sugar and a stick of margarine. A hot pot of grits kept my family from starving. Steamy hot meal served less than 5 minutes. Big silver pot boiling water salt in it. House full of brothers and sisters, the pot's missing. Pilgrim on a box on the stove in the kitchen.
When I was small, we had
had nothing at all. We used to eat grits for dinner.
See you later, Big Grit.
The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Tar Heel Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.